As a longtime educator, wellness instructor, and coach for women rebuilding after major life shifts, I deeply understand the challenges of reconnecting with your mind, body, and purpose so you can live grounded, confident, and whole. I'm Dr. Molly Kirby, your host, and welcome to Rooted Conversations by Reinnovate You Coaching, where your healing becomes your roots and your growth becomes your new way of being. Through grounding conversations, practical tools, and valuable insights, Rooted Conversations empowers you to reconnect with yourself, to release what no longer serves you, and to reinnovate the person you're becoming. If this sounds just like the thing you've been looking for, subscribe to the podcast and join me on this journey to reset, renew, and reinnovate you. Welcome back to Rooted Conversations. If you're new here, this is a space where we slow things down, ask better questions, and come back to what's steady beneath all the noise. Today's conversation was inspired by a question I hear all the time. And maybe you've asked yourself the same question. Which diet is best? Keto, paleo, Mediterranean, intermittent fasting, clean eating, vegan, vegetarian, and the list goes on. And then there are those tracking apps with macros, points, eating windows, rules. The options are endless, and honestly, they're exhausting. So instead of ranking diets or telling you what you should eat, I want to take a different approach, one that feels more rooted, more human, and a lot less loud. Because when someone asks, what fad diet is best, what I often hear under that question is something deeper. What people are really asking is, which plan will finally work for me? Which one will help me feel better in my body? Which one will give me a sense of control, of relief, of peace? It's not a shallow question. It's a very human one. Here's the thing, though. Most fad diets, no matter how scientific or trendy they sound, are designed to give answers fast. Clear rules, clear structure, clear expectations. And in a world that feels uncertain, stressful, or even overwhelming, that kind of certainty can feel incredibly comforting. But comfort doesn't always lead to success. One of the challenges with fad diets is they are often marketed as long-term lifestyles, when in reality, they're short-term interventions. They tend to focus narrowly on what you eat while ignoring how you feel about food, how stress, grief, or trauma affect appetite and digestion, how culture, history, and season of life shape our needs, and how different bodies respond differently. So when a diet fails, we're taught to assume that we failed, not the diet, when in truth, the approach was never designed to be sustainable in the first place. Just to be clear, this episode is not about shaming diets or weight loss programs. It's not about shaming people who try them either. Many diets do offer helpful insights, like structure, awareness, or a focus on whole foods, which is a good thing. The problem begins when those insights turn into rigid rules, or when those external systems replace internal listening. What is your body trying to tell you? So this brings me to the idea of balanced nutrition. This is one we hear about a lot, that we eat a balanced meal, that we have balanced nutrition in our life. Balance is one of those words that sounds really good, but it's rarely explained in a way that feels livable. So balance does not mean eating perfectly, hitting exact numbers, or being good most of the time. Balance means capacity. It means being able to eat in a way that supports your physical health, your emotional well-being, your mental space, and your life as it actually exists. Not the life others tell you you're supposed to have, but the one you're living, the one you're living right now. Balanced nutrition changes as well. It looks different during grief, different during stress, different during midlife, different during illness, transition, or healing. And frankly, any approach that doesn't allow for that flexibility eventually creates more tension than nourishment. If you've ever been through this with a diet, you know exactly what I mean. You begin to resent the diet, the restriction, the rules, and eventually feel like it's your fault and feel like you should be ashamed. Shame around dieting can be extremely powerful. And if you begin to feel that way, that diet is not for you. So what about meal tracking? Because this comes up a lot in conversations. Tracking apps can be useful tools. They can build awareness. They can support short-term goals or even provide medical guidance. But tools become problematic when they start overriding the body's own signals. When hunger, fullness, satisfaction, or even intuition get replaced by numbers on a screen, that's when something important gets lost. So instead of asking, is tracking good or bad, a more rooted question might be, is this tool helping me feel more connected to my body, or am I being managed by it? That question really matters. Are you being governed by macro percentages, calorie counts, and points rather than how you feel? Throughout this episode, I want to invite you to listen without trying to fix anything. You don't need to make changes today. You don't need to decide what diet to follow or to unfollow. Just notice what feels supportive, what feels kind of heavy, what brings you ease, and what tightens your chest just a little bit. Because nourishment isn't about food, it's about relationship. And like any relationship, it works when trust, not fear, is at the center. When it's welcomed and comfortable, not resented and miserable. And just a quick note before we continue, this conversation is for reflection and education, not medical or nutritional advice. Everyone's needs are different, and support from qualified professionals is always encouraged. So in other words, see your doctor before starting any kind of diet. So let's take a breath, settle in, and talk about fad diets, balance, and tracking, not from a place of control, but from a place of curiosity, compassion, and self-care. Let's go back to which diets are best. I'm going to give you an overview of some common fad diets in no particular order. I'm going to start with keto or low-carb diets. These diets emphasize blood sugar control and structure. The ketogenic diet, or keto as we call it, is a very low-carb, high-fat, moderate protein eating pattern. It's designed to shift the body into what we call ketosis, which is a metabolic state where the body burns fat rather than carbohydrates for fuel. Though it's really popular today, it was actually developed in the 1920s to support neurological health in adolescents. It's also related to the very popular Atkins and South Beach diets that you've probably heard about over the years. The keto diet is designed to support healthy metabolism and weight management. It reduces appetite and cravings, improves energy and physical performance, enhances mental clarity and focus, and supports healthy blood sugar balance. So here's how the keto diet works. Normally, carbohydrates are converted to glucose in your body, and then the glucose becomes your main source of energy. On a keto diet, however, carbs are reduced, which pushes the body to use fat for fuel rather than glucose. So on a low-carb diet, you would see only 15 to 10% of the calories coming from carbohydrates. You would also see an increase in healthy fat, so about 75% of daily calories would come from fat. And then you would see a moderate amount of protein, so 15 to 20% of your calories would come from protein. If you ingest too much protein, it can be converted to glucose, and it interrupts that ketosis process. Some of the foods you would eat would be healthy fats. We're talking avocados, olive oil, quality proteins like grass-fed meat, fish, eggs, non-starchy vegetables like leafy greens, broccoli, cauliflower, nuts and seeds in small portions, and beverages like water, tea, and coffee. Foods to avoid would include sugary foods, sweet drinks, grains, grain-based foods, so rice, oats, quinoa, starchy vegetables like potatoes, corn, peas, most fruits except for maybe a small amount of berries, and processed snacks, most dairy, packaged processed meals, and all of those foods. The watch out for a keto diet, too, is that it often misses sustainability, flexibility, and interferes with your food relationship. These are not foods that are historically comforting in American culture and can have an impact on social gatherings with food. The next diet I'd like to talk about is the paleo whole foods approach. These diets minimize processed foods. The paleo whole foods approach focuses on eating things that are nutrient dense and close to their natural state. Rather than counting calories or macros, these approaches emphasize quality food and metabolic health. The core philosophy here is that paleo and whole foods eating patterns revolve around unprocessed foods, high quality protein, healthy fats, lots of vegetables, eliminating inflammatory, refined, or ultra-processed foods. The idea here is when you nourish your body with real foods and avoid foods that spike blood sugar or trigger inflammation, weight regulation becomes more natural and more sustainable. Since the paleo diet removes refined grains, sugars, and processed food, it helps stabilize blood sugar. This leads to fewer cravings, less overeating, and more consistent energy. Ultra-processed foods, seed oils, sugar, and additives can increase inflammation. Lower inflammation equals better metabolism, less bloating, and easier weight loss. It also improves gut health because these foods are easier to digest. It also encourages consistent, balanced eating patterns. There's no measurement or complicated rules. It's just simple. Eat real food, cook at home, eat mindfully, and this reduces the binge restrict cycles. So on a paleo diet or a whole foods diet, you would eat more vegetables, all kinds of vegetables, high quality protein, fruits, healthy fats, root vegetables, minimal ingredient foods, and you would avoid or limit refined sugar, grains, processed food, industrial seed oils, packaged snacks, artificial sweeteners, or additives. And people lose weight on paleo or whole foods diets because it's not about restriction. It's about removing the things that dysregulate appetite and adding foods that support the body's natural metabolism. So it often leads to eating fewer calories without trying, improved digestion, more stable energy, increased hormone balance, and less emotional eating. The watch out for a paleo is that you can slide into the rigidity or start moralizing food. In other words, saying these foods are good foods and these foods are bad foods, because it's not inherently correct. The next diet trend I'd like to talk about is intermittent fasting. This appeals to a lot of people because of its simplicity and clear rules. Intermittent fasting is an eating pattern that cycles between eating and not eating or fasting. It doesn't tell you what to eat so much, only when to eat. The goal is to give the body longer breaks from digestion so that it can tap into energy sources that regulate hormones and improve metabolic health. Intermittent fasting works through several natural physiological mechanisms. First, it lowers insulin levels. During fasting windows, insulin drops, which allows the body to burn stored fat more efficiently. After 10, 12 hours without food, the body shifts from glucose to burning fat, like it would in the keto diet, sometimes even entering light ketosis. Most people naturally eat less without having to count calories because the eating window is shorter. It reduces hunger hormones. It improves metabolic health. There are several common intermittent fasting methods. The first one is the 16-8 method. Fast for 16 hours, eat during an 8-hour window. There's a 14 to 10, which is gentler and more flexible version of that. So 14 hours of fasting and then a 10-hour window for eating. There's also a 5-to-2 ratio. Eat normally for 5 days a week and reduce calories 2 days a week. Then there's the alternate day fasting. So eat normally one day, fast for the next. Eat normally the next, fast for the next. So you alternate back and forth. Most people start with a 10 to 14-hour fasting method and gradually increase it if they desire. What you eat still matters. Fasting is about timing, but the quality of food affects the results. Best results come from whole foods, lean proteins, plenty of vegetables, healthy fats, and hydration. While intermittent fasting can be good for some people, there are people that need to avoid these diets. So you should ask your doctor if you're pregnant or breastfeeding. Anyone with a history of eating disorder should be cautious when doing intermittent fasting. The big watch out here, it can be problematic for people with stress, trauma histories, or a disordered eating pattern. The next diet I'd like to discuss is the Mediterranean diet. This one is extremely popular. The Mediterranean diet is an eating pattern inspired by traditional foods and lifestyle habits of countries bordering the Mediterranean Sea, so Greece, Italy, Spain. It's widely considered one of the healthiest and most sustainable dietary approaches. It's focused on whole, minimally processed foods, emphasizes plants and healthy fats, and supports long-term health rather than... The core principles of the Mediterranean diet emphasize fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, and seeds, whole grains, healthy fats, especially extra virgin olive oil, fish and seafood several times a week, moderate amounts of poultry, eggs, yogurt, and cheese, limited red meats and sweets, herbs and spices instead of salt. And here we get red wine, so red wine in moderation is also optional. It's more of a lifestyle than a strict diet. The Mediterranean diet promotes healthy weight management through high nutrient-dense foods, whole foods with fiber, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. They're better satisfying foods, so healthy fats plus fiber in your food keep you fuller longer and reduce overeating. They balance your blood sugar. They're anti-inflammatory. It's also a sustainable lifestyle. There's no calorie counting or strict rules, making it easier to maintain over time. Research consistently links the Mediterranean diet to better heart health, to lower risk of chronic disease, improved brain health and cognitive aging, healthy blood sugar regulation, longevity, and overall well-being. So foods you should eat more of on the Mediterranean diet are vegetables, leafy greens, tomatoes, peppers, squash, all fruits, especially berries, citrus, apples, and grapes, whole grains, brown rice, quinoa, farro, oats, beans and lentils, extra virgin olive oil, nuts and seeds, fish and seafood, herbs, spices, garlic, and onions. Things you should limit on this diet are red meat, butter and refined oils, white bread, pastries, refined grains, sugary foods and drinks, ultra-processed foods. While the Mediterranean style of eating or the Mediterranean diet is often labeled as balanced, it still gets misused when it's turned into a rigid plan. The next one I like to talk about is Blue Zones. The Blue Zones diet is based on the eating habits of people who live in five regions of the world where people routinely live the longest and healthiest lives: Okinawa, Japan, Acaria, Greece, Sardinia, Italy, Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California. These communities have extremely high numbers of people living well into their 90s and 100s with low rates of chronic disease. Their diets share several key themes. The number one is plant-forward eating. About 90 to 95% of foods come from plants, especially vegetables, fruit, legumes like beans, lentils, and chickpeas, whole grains, nuts. Animal products are eaten very sparingly. Beans are the foundation. Across all Blue Zones, beans are the number one longevity food. People commonly eat at least one cup a day. Limited meat. Meat is only eaten a few times a month, small portions, 2 to 4 ounces when they do. Preferably locally raised or sustainable. Some of the cultures avoid eating meat altogether. Healthy fats. Most fats come from olive oil, nuts and seeds, avocados, and very little processed oil or fried foods. They do eat carbs, but they are real foods like whole grains, sweet potatoes, especially the purple Okinawan sweet potato, beans, fruit, root vegetables. No low-carb or high-protein extremes. They rarely eat desserts or sugary drinks. They save sweets for celebration. Alcohol is consumed, but in moderation. Another practice in these Blue Zones is eating until 80% full. Okinawans call this harahachibu, a mindful practice of stopping before feeling stuffed, which naturally reduces calorie intake. Harahachibu is one of the Japanese philosophies we will discuss later in more detail, as well as vegetarian, vegan, plant-based, and plant-forward diets. These are very popular diet trends right now, and they're all different, but they have little subtle elements to them. It'll take a whole podcast. So what if we thought about all of this in a rooted reframe? Any approach that disconnects you from hunger, fullness, pleasure, or context eventually stops being nourishment. In other words, how do we focus on balanced nutrition? And what does balanced nutrition actually mean? What if instead of creating the right formula for macros or calculating calories or carbs or fat or adhering to food pyramids, especially the new one, we look at the term balance as capacity, not perfection. So balanced nutrition then would support physical needs, emotional needs, mental well-being, and social and cultural connection. The last thing I'd like to address is trackers and roles. Trackers can be helpful. They can help us with short-term awareness, learning patterns, support medical guidance with professionals. For example, my experience with Weight Watchers or WW taught me about portion sizes. Over time, I was able to eyeball what a serving should look like, and that was very helpful to me. But trackers can also create anxiety or guilt. They can replace internal cues with external rules. They can turn eating to a performance or a scorecard, and I happen to be very guilty of that one. So if or when you use these tools, ask yourself, is this tool helping me feel more connected to my body or more managed by it? That question alone is gold. We also get caught up in rules. Only eat almonds, not cashews, for example. What about replacing rules with better questions? How do I feel around food lately? Do I feel calm, tense, preoccupied? Does my current approach allow flexibility? Am I eating to listen or to control? What does nourishment look like in this season of my life? What does good data have to say about nutrition as we age? If you take nothing else from this conversation, let it be this. There is no single best way to eat, only what is supportive sustainable, and kind to you. And again, remember, nutrition isn't just about food. It's about your relationship with food. And like any relationship, it works best when trust, not fear or dread, is at the center. As we wrap up today's conversation, I hope the biggest takeaway is this. Nutrition isn't about chasing the newest trend or forcing yourself into someone else's plan. It's about learning what helps your body feel strong, steady, nourished, and whole. Bad diets come and go, but your relationship with food is lifelong, and you deserve for that relationship to be peaceful, informed, and rooted in what aligns with your views and your well-being. Whether it's keto, Mediterranean, intermittent fasting, paleo, or simply choosing more plant-based whole foods and fewer ultra-processed ones. There's no one-size-fits-all answer. The magic happens when you become curious, pay attention, experiment with new foods, and trust what your body tells you. My hope is this episode helps you feel a little more empowered and a little less overwhelmed, because you don't need perfection to be healthy. You just need consistent, doable habits that support the version of you you're becoming. Thank you for spending this time with me. If this conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend, leave a review, or send me a message on the socials. As always, stay rooted, stay curious, and tune in next time. Thank you for joining Rooted Conversations by Reinnovate You Coaching and for seeking clarity and truth in your health and wellness journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review. It helps us grow and reach more listeners like you. For resources and updates, follow us on social media or visit riucoaching.com. Until next time, stay grounded, stay curious, and keep growing. As a reminder, this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. I am not a medical provider. I am a PhD, not an MD. And nothing in these conversations should be used to diagnose, treat, or replace care from a qualified healthcare professional. Always consult your doctor or trusted healthcare provider regarding any questions or concerns about your health.